Welcome to the UK Travel Planning Podcast. Your host is the founder of the UK Travel Planning website, Tracy Collins. In this podcast, Tracy shares destination guides, travel tips, and itinerary ideas, as well as interviews with a variety of guests who share their knowledge and experience of UK travel to help you plan your perfect UK vacation. Join us as we explore the UK from cosmopolitan cities to quaint villages, from historic castles to beautiful islands, and from the picturesque countryside to seaside towns.
Hello and welcome to episode 65 of the UK Travel Planning Podcast. This week, I am very excited to be chatting to Deborah Harson, who was on the podcast last year from episode 22 when she visited the UK with daughter Emily. This year, I was actually lucky enough to meet Deborah and her daughter Britt, who she went to the UK with this year. So when I actually met up with Deborah in London, I asked if she'd come on the podcast again, and she said she would. So thank you, Deborah. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit, obviously, where you're from in the US and who you traveled to the UK with?
Absolutely. Thank you again, Tracy. And it was fun meeting up with you in person. That was an amazing part of my trip. It's one of my highlights. I'm Deborah Harson, as you had said. I live in Northwest Pennsylvania, not too far, actually, south from the Niagara Falls. And I went this year with my daughter, Brittany, who lives in Las Vegas, Nevada. So she had quite a bit longer of an airline trip than I did, but we ended up meeting in Washington, D.C. before we flew over to London. So that's who I took with me this year. And it was absolutely lovely and a dream to return back to the UK after having just left it 9 months prior. I could do that all the time.
It's not like me, because I think I was away by 8 months and then flew back, which it was a little bit sooner than I thought. But yeah, it was great.
Yes.
So last year you did the 4 weeks with daughter Emily. So obviously this year you decided to visit with Brittany. And I was lucky enough to meet Brittany as well in London, which was lovely. So hi, Brittany, if you're listening, I'm sure you will be. So last year you did a lot of travels with Emily. So you were in Northumberland, you were in York, you were in Canterbury, you were in London, you were in the Cotswolds, right. You went to Loch Ness, Edinburgh. So tell us a little bit about how long you went for this year and where you chose to go with Brittany.
Well, Brittany and I only were able to take a little bit over a two-week stay, primarily because she is a teacher and her school does go year-round, so we had to go within her break. I let Brittany choose where she wanted to go. Originally, she wanted to go see lots of castles, so I'm thinking, Wales, I get to go back to Wales. I'm so excited. And then she started looking at the map and looking at different areas, and because she lives in desert, she said, I want to be by the water. And so she is the one who actually chose Cornwall, which was lovely for me because it was an area I've not gone into or had not had the opportunity to really go into much prior to that. So it was new for me as well.
Oh, that's exciting.
A lot of beautiful areas. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So we spent our first several days in London, and then we went into Cornwall and saw all sorts of wonderful, wonderful things, and then spent the last 5 days of our trip in London as well. So we were able to sort of combine, you know, the bright lights of the big city with beautiful, beautiful countryside and beachfronts and just gorgeous, gorgeous areas.
Oh, I absolutely love Cornwall. It is gorgeous. I didn't get a chance to go this year. Obviously, I went last year and we had a wonderful week down there. We had fantastic weather. It was absolutely beautiful. So tell us, how did you plan to get down to Cornwall? Did you go on a tour or did you do that independently?
No, we did do a tour to go to Cornwall. And I will say this was one of my favorite tours simply because our tour director made it. Oh. And I think that's the case with a lot of it. It's a very small tour, but he was a younger man, but boy, he knew his history of Cornwall and made it engaging for everybody. I love history, so every word he said, I was soaking in and writing down in my little journal. But even those who were there just to enjoy the beauty, or maybe their interests were some of the TV shows, of course, that are filmed in the area, or whatever the interests were, he just was able to encapsulate it all and just made it thrilling and beautiful for everybody. And I think that really, really, really made the tour, along with the gorgeous areas we want to see.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think that you're right. It's who you, because obviously you're going to gorgeous areas, but if you've got a tour guide that you can engage with and who knows their stuff, that makes it even better, doesn't it?
Yes.
How long were you down in Cornwall? So how did you get down there? Were you picked up by bus and taken bus down there? Did you get a train?
No, we were picked up by a bus in London at the hotel in which we were staying. And we were in Cornwall for 6 days. Yes, 6 days.
Okay.
And it was absolutely stunning. We actually started in Wells. We saw Wells first, which is not in Cornwall, but I mean saw Wells first. Then went into Dartmoor,
yep,
where we spent our first night, and then did northern Cornwall and then down into the southern part of Cornwall before we headed back to London. And I'm just in awe of all the areas there, really.
So what were the highlights of Cornwall for you? I know that's difficult, but...
It is, but it's actually not.
Okay.
Well, St. Michael's Mount, that was on sort of my bucket list because... Lindisfarne, the Holy Island, was on my bucket list last year, and I was fortunate enough to go.
Yeah.
This sort of completed the bookend of the area for me. I absolutely loved, I believe it was Bedruthian.
Okay, yeah.
Stunning, just stunning. And I guess it's at one point you could walk down those steps. They don't recommend it now because there's been a lot of rock erosion and so forth. But oh my goodness, absolutely stunning. Port Isaac was gorgeous.
Yes, just
gorgeous. St. Ives. And of course, Brittany got her picture taken at Land's End, you know. So, I mean, there were a lot of moments and highlights that, gosh, the area was just so beautiful. I'm almost speechless talking about it and trying to think about some of the places, but it just, I think it captivated both of us.
Oh,
it really did.
That's good. It is a lovely area. I know we've got, I can't think off the top of my head which episode it is, but Doug and I talked about our road trip around Cornwall last year in one episode. Yeah, it's really good. And we do work with a private tour company down in Cornwall who does tours around Manege tours as well. And he's been on the podcast to talk about his tours that he takes around as well. Because it is a lovely area. I think people sometimes don't realize how long it takes to get there, though.
I agree.
It is quite a distance from London.
It really is. And it's so varied in the landscape as you go as well. There's, you know, it's not just a moment of, oh, here we are. I mean, fortunately for us, our bus went right past Stonehenge. So Brittany was able to say, oh, here's Stonehenge. And we saw it beautifully as we passed by. And stopping in places like Wells and Dartmoor National Park, I think really, really helped keep the excitement up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a long drive.
Yeah. Oh, that's always the advantage. It's a long way to go, but when you do drive there, there's lots of places to stop along the way. In fact, too many places to stop along the way.
That's true too.
It can take quite a while to get there. I know last year we got the train to Exeter and picked up a hire car there and then did our drive from there and then back to Exeter to pick up. Well, we're supposed to pick up the train, but we ended up keeping the hire car for a little bit longer.
Right.
But yeah, you also had lovely weather as well because you were there in June.
Well, yes and no.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was beautiful. I mean, when we arrived in London, when you and I met, it was incredibly hot.
Yeah.
When we first set out to Cornwall, it was beautiful, but it did get much cooler as the trip went on. And certainly when we were in southern Cornwall, we had one day where we were just sort of enjoying the sun and, oh my goodness, I actually got windburn and didn't realize it because the temperature was low enough.
Yeah.
But the wind was blowing constantly. And eventually I looked and went, oh my goodness. My face. It was actually from the wind. So we had some cooler days, not unpleasant cool, and not the rain that I understand they had been getting after that. But definitely some cooler days, but it didn't take away any of the charm.
No, that's good. Well, it's sometimes crazy. It can get too hot. That's I think when we were down there last year, it was perfect. And I actually was wearing shorts, which I'd never thought I'd ever wear in the UK, but I had shorts on, which was really good. So that was your Cornwall bit. Were there some accommodation that stood out in Cornwall?
In Cornwall, yes, there was a place, the Carleon Bay Hotel, which was rather in the middle of nowhere. It's right between Charleston and in Foy, in that area, in a beautiful area. But this hotel had incredible amenities. We could have played golf for free. They had a gorgeous lawn, all sorts of these lovely round beach chairs with umbrellas over, and you just sat there and watched the water, and you could walk to the beach. Helicopters were landing for, you know, very VIP people who were arriving. I didn't get to see who they were, but I saw their helicopter.
It wasn't me. I have to say, it wasn't me.
No, I thought it was you, actually. I was calling out Tracy, but it wasn't you. But that was one of my favorite places. We stayed at, in Falmouth, a place called Green Bank, which had been a an inn for, gosh, I think it was 300 or 400 years at this point. And that was very quaint and very, very pretty. Two Bridges Hotel in Dartmoor, which is in Two Bridges, was absolutely stunning. And that was a beautiful place too. But I think our favorite, our standout was the Carleon Bay, simply the location, just the amenities. You felt like you were being treated like royalty. Oh, and it was it just really stuck out. Beautiful place, but just a beautiful setting, a beautiful area.
Perfect. So obviously you had a few days in London, you went and did your Cornwall tour, and then you came back to London.
Right.
So should we talk about London? What did Brittany want to do and see in London? What were her priorities?
Well, our hotel in London was in Westminster. It was right on St. Vincent Square. Gorgeous location for walking, a little bit of a trek for the tubes, but not too bad. And so our very first day, we got to our hotel about 1 o'clock and dropped off our luggage and walked 10 minutes and we were smack dab in. Here's Big Ben, here's Parliament, here's Westminster Abbey. And I think for Brittany, it was a case of, wow, this is bigger than life. And I know she enjoyed that a lot. The next day we went to the Tower of London, and she has said to this day that just really amazed her. I don't know if it was necessarily the age, the structure, just the entire mood of the place, but she has repeatedly said the Tower of London was one of her favorite places. And she got to meet the fourth hired female warder at the tower. And she was thrilled to death about that. And this warder, she was incredibly kind and let us take pictures. And she was just really, really wonderful. And Brittany really, really enjoyed being able to meet her too. So I think that just helped to make the Tower of London even more memorable.
It is. And I actually met her as well in May, I think it was, when I was at the Tower of London quite a few times this summer. And she hadn't been there very long, maybe 3 months, I think it was. So I've also got a photo with her. She's lovely, but I mean, quite daunting. She was saying how much history she had to learn. Obviously you've got to learn such a lot, but what a privilege, what a fantastic opportunity
it really was. And I loved at the Tower of London too, all of the different school groups, and you must have seen that in May, who had decorated all the throne appearing chairs throughout the lawn, and the paintings and the artistry. Those were just simply fun. Those were so much fun to see, and to see the different school groups. And I just enjoyed that almost as much as being at the Tower, even though the Tower is one of my favorite places. And I love seeing that as well. So that was really enjoyable.
What other highlights did you have in London?
We ended up going to the Victoria and Albert Museum. This was a Sunday, so we were there for several hours and then went next door to the Natural History Museum and enjoyed both immensely. Could spend all day in both, so just spending a couple hours in both didn't really lend credence to seeing too much, but we really enjoyed it. And a couple days, or the next day after that, we went to the National Portrait Museum, which had just reopened, I think 2 days after Brittany and I had arrived. So that was a lot of fun. They've put an awful lot of energy and money and vision into redesigning that museum and making it more cohesive. I think
it's really lovely. Yeah.
It's stunning.
It's really good.
And on our way to the National Portrait Museum, I finally got to do something else I've wanted to do for years. And that was have tea in St. Martin's Crypt.
Ah, okay. Cafe in the Crypt.
Yeah. And I've always wanted to do that. Never had opportunity or had squeamish people with me.
Right.
and Brittany was all for it. She said, oh, absolutely. Let's go. So we got to do that too. And that was
That's great.
Yes.
And another thing I know you had on your list is you had a photo shoot with our lovely Dommy of Scale In Studios. How did that go?
It went badly. Dommy is amazing. She is sweet. She is professional. She knows what she's doing. And she managed to do it with so much personality and an ease and just sort of making you feel like I've known you forever. I adored it. It was, we just opted for the half hour photo shoot simply because Brittany won't be too upset when I say this, but having her picture taken is not her thing. So, okay. So we just opted for, you know, a smaller photo shoot, but also wanted some nice photos of the two of us while we were there. And so we were right by Westminster Abbey, the phone booth there. And then we went over the bridge to another view by the London Eye. So very, very closely, densely packed areas that we were in. And Dami just, oh, she was just amazing.
Just good, isn't it?
The pictures are phenomenal. Yeah. I'm looking at them going, really, that's us?
She's really good. She's really good. I think actually my most favorite photo that I've ever had taken of me was she took it in Notting Hill in April. And I just, yes. I rarely would say that I love a photo of me, but I just absolutely love it. It's just a fantastic photo. She did a really good job. Yes. She just always does a great job. And, you know, when the first ever photo shoot we had with Dami last year, I was all a bit, oh, I've never done one of these, but she puts you so at ease.
She does. She's incredible.
Yeah.
I think she had Brittany joking with her within the first 3 minutes and just, she made me feel very comfortable, but she made Brittany just feel like, okay, this is what we're doing. Let's just do it. And having some fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So we'll have to, maybe if you want to send us some photos, we can put in the show notes. If you want to share those, that would be really good. Obviously you've said that you managed to go and have tea in the cafe in the crypt.
Yeah.
So what other foods did you eat and how did Brittany find it?
Her goal was to eat as much fish and chips as possible. This was her goal. I'm not, and she definitely tried other things. We had Sunday roast one Sunday, obviously, and some different things. But right around the corner from our hotel was this fabulous place that has been on my list. I'm a huge list maker of places that people recommend. And it's called the Laughing Halibut. And it was incredible. We ended up eating there 3 times. And this was between both pre and post, you know, our tour.
Oh, yes.
And by the third time, you know, our waiter knows us. Am I going to see you girls again type thing? We did takeaway, I think, the first time. And then we actually ate in the restaurant the last two. Superb. And just superb. It's wonderful fish and chips. Emily and I had wonderful experience at another small place called the Friar's Delight.
Yes.
These places are comparable in that they're obviously very family owned and small and sort of niche and lovely, just lovely. So we couldn't recommend that enough. But then we went to Borough Market as well and tried the salted beef.
Oh, I know.
That was delicious. I had a donut that should have been called a cake. It just was luscious and creamy and incredibly beautiful and lovely. And of course, Brittany tried the fish and chips there too and loved them. But that was another highlight though, just being able to go through Borough Market and all the food or sampling some of the things on display. That was just a treat, just a treat.
Oh, it's fantastic. I did a food tour of Borough Market, which was great, and got to try lots of different foods. It was busy because Saturday it can get very, very busy at Borough Market. So it was very busy, but we were lucky because we didn't have to stand in a queue to get things. Our tour guide did that.
That's true. Yeah, we went, I believe it was a Wednesday morning. And yeah, it was bustling when we got there, but it wasn't busy. That wasn't until probably 1:30 in the afternoon that you could see people were starting to come and it was going to be a lot more crowded. Yeah. And that's another thing I'd say about London too. I know people, especially on the Facebook group, often ask, do I really need to book things? Do I really need to do this? Now, last year, and just being fortunate enough to have just been there in 9 months ago, and when people were first starting to travel, Emily and I could pretty much get into anything we wanted to fairly easily. What a difference 9 months makes. I mean, we had all of our tickets for the Tower of London, Westminster Abbey, and different places pre-booked. So that wasn't an issue. But oh my goodness, the crowds, the just the sheer number of people that are now out and about and traveling and in restaurants or in pubs was entirely different. It was almost like visiting a different city.
Oh, it's very, very busy. It was very busy this year. In fact, when I was there in April, I was there before the coronation for a week. I've never seen it so busy in April. It was crazy. And then in June, it was very busy. I actually popped over to Paris for the day. Now, Doug and I went to Paris last year, and it was busy. But this year, it was even... It's just everybody's traveling now that want to travel, all that kind of pent up waiting. Yes. Everybody is so, and I know we get asked all the time, should I bother booking? Yes.
Yes. The answer is yes.
If you want to go somewhere in particular, if you want to eat somewhere in particular, book.
Yeah. I just saw a picture recently of Edinburgh, the Royal Mile for the tattoo. Now, Emily and I were there last year and I had reservations about it. I thought, oh my goodness, the tattoo, the first time in a couple years. And it was busy, but it was not a madhouse. The picture I saw just the other day, people were literally shoulder to shoulder. It was a massive humanity. So yes, people are traveling. Yes, book.
Book. Yeah, don't underestimate it. Absolutely. That's a very good tip.
Yes.
So what about packing? Obviously, you're used to packing. You know what you're taking. So you guys were pretty organized, I reckon, with your packing.
We both just did carry on again. It was just for 2 weeks. That wasn't difficult at all. The one thing I did differently this year, last year I'd taken a large tote for my under the seat storage, and that was lovely. It worked just fine, but you know, you had to dig for things. It wasn't as organized. And I actually found this year an under the seat suitcase that actually slides on to my carry-on, and I use that instead, and I'm not sorry and probably would never use just a tote again. So
yeah,
that was fabulous. I knew exactly which pocket, you know, my passport was in, or knew exactly which pocket the extra change of clothes or whatever I needed was in. So
yeah.
So that's the difference between last year and this year as far as packing. But both times carry on, we did, you know, a load of laundry. I think
carry on is great. I mean, I don't know, for us it's 7 kgs, and because I have to take things like my Insta360 and I've got my laptop and I've got my, I'm already on 5 kgs before I put any clothes in.
Yeah.
So I can't take anything. But my dream would be to just do carry on. I must admit, I've found two things this year that have changed everything. One is those compact cubes, packing cubes that, what do they call them? I can't even think of the name of them. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. We use them too. Yeah,
they're brilliant. Everything. Put the cabin cubes in and they, you take the air out. I can't think of the name of them, but they're fantastic. Oh, amazing. Yeah. So they're really good. And the name's completely gone out of my head. But I will put a link in the show notes when I do remember. And the other thing is, which is something I started doing a few years ago when I was traveling around Queensland for work, is just starting to put things in small packing cubes in my hand luggage. So put my book and a pen and a notepad in one. It put my earphones and all the electrical stuff that I want in another. So I don't have to go digging around my backpack. So I found that really helpful.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that.
It makes it much
easier. Yeah. So that makes things a little bit easier.
Absolutely.
So is there anything, because obviously you've traveled to the UK a lot, Deborah, but was there anything this time that surprised you? Anything that, or is there anything that Brit said she wasn't expecting?
I think what surprised me the most, besides just the absolute lushness of Cornwall and realizing I could just get lost there very, very easy, was the fact that we actually went to a tea plantation, Tregothnan Tea Plantation in southern Cornwall. They said, and it's the only one in the UK, they said they are actually one of the larger suppliers of tea to China, which I found quite interesting.
Right. Yeah.
But around that area, and of course, because they can grow the tea, it's because of the change in climate, because of the Gulf Coast stream that goes up through there. There were so many tropical plants. It just felt surreal. There is no other word for it. I know I'm in the UK and there's a palm tree looking, you know, so it's just, that was completely surprising, but in a very good way, in a very delightful way. At the tree plant, or at the tea plantation, excuse me, too, we got to pick our own tea leaves, you know, so we could brew tea later. So, I mean, that was just sort of a fun, surprising, additional activity that I certainly would have never expected. And I know we enjoyed that. For Brittany, I think the thing that surprised her was when we got to St. Michael's Mount, and of course we took the boat over, and she, you know, I kept referring to this causeway that you could walk over, that you could, and she obviously not for the first time or the last, thought her mom was completely bonkers. And we get to the top and climb to the top of St. Michael's Mountain, the castle. And she's looking down and you could see the tide going out. So you could see this, the causeway. And she ended up walking it. When we got down to the bottom, she could walk it. And she just had so much fun doing that. I think that was a surprise because it, once again, something you didn't expect to be able to do. And she was able to do. So
That's lovely.
I think those moments were the biggest surprises.
Oh, that's lovely. And it's nice to go over by boat and walk over if you can, if the tides are in your favor. So that's lovely. That's really good.
Absolutely.
Is there one tip? I know I asked you this question last year, but I'm going to ask you on the end of this podcast because I ask everybody and you might come up with something different this time. What is the one tip that you would share for anybody planning a trip to the UK for the first time, Deborah?
Well, actually, I have two. One sort of goes together. Anytime you're anywhere and you can ask a curator, a verger, you know, anybody questions, do that. And in turn, visit the gift shop, because I think you find the best treasures there. You really, really do. But the biggest thing I found this year was, and I believe somebody had posted it on your Facebook page, to download the MPC app, and that's Mobile Passport Control. And I did before our trip, and I thought, well, I wonder if this will really make that big of a difference. Now, it is primarily, I looked into it today in anticipation for this, primarily for U.S. residents and eligible Canadian residents. So I know it does take out part of your viewership and the people that would listen. But essentially, it was like global entry. So all I had to do to put into it was where we were landing, and we ended up coming back in through D.C., what terminal we were going to be at. We had nothing to declare. And as I'm doing, you snap a picture of yourself while you're doing it. We're in line with a line that was longer than anything I've ever seen before. And I'm doing this. And I finally asked one of the workers as he went by, is this the line for the MPC? He goes, no. And he takes us out of this incredibly long line, takes us to an entirely different area of the airport. There's six people ahead of us in line.
Wow.
And we literally, you get this QR code, you put it down on the screen, and you're through. And essentially what it does is it takes out all of your re-entry requirements. You've already downloaded them into this. They do a quick search and forward you this QR code, and you're through.
Oh.
And it was amazing. So download it, do it. That would be my biggest.
That's for US citizens arriving back into the US.
Yes, to get back into the US. It was just so easy. And I know that line had to have taken people over 2 hours to get through. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
A great tip.
Yes. And that's no exaggeration. That line was just horrendous. It just wove itself back and forth over and over and over again.
That's brilliant to know. So I'm going to say a huge thank you, Deb, for coming back onto the podcast again to talk about your trip with Brittany. It was brilliant to talk to you.
And it was wonderful to meet you in London, too. I enjoyed so much going to Starbucks and saying, well, that's where my friend and I met.
It was so nice to meet you there, and obviously to meet Brittany as well. So for anybody listening, for the show notes for this episode, we'll have the places that Deborah visited. We'll have links to the different restaurants that she ate at, which I'll also be adding to our London food guide, which is on our website, londontravelplanning.com. And also the show notes will be on UK Travel Planning at uktravelplanning.com/episode65. That's where you can find also the photos that Deb took and the photos that Dommy took of Deb and Brittany as well in London. You'll find all of those on the website. But that just leaves me to say, until next week, happy UK travel planning. Thank you.